I was talking to Brother Eric there a while back. Actually, we were saying that, you know, there's two things that the teenagers today, they go out in the world and, you know, they get into drugs and get up to mischief and stuff and kind of get their heart beating and the adrenaline going and things like that. But there's two things that we as Christians do, well, me at least, and Brother Eric there, that gets our heart beating and excited, you know, and it's one thing if you go out soul winning and you get to a door and you're standing there and you start shaking and you don't know what to say, but you know you got to be there and you're all excited about it. And the other thing is preaching. I tell you, every time when I come up here, my heart's going like 200 beats a minute, you know, and I'm scared. I don't know why I'm scared, because I mean, we got God's word here and I know all of you studying it, and all it is just speaking for the Lord, you know, but it's just a great opportunity and a great thing to be able to do that. Well, I thank you again for allowing me to preach, and I don't think you probably wouldn't understand it unless you had the opportunity to preach. You know, it is a great privilege, and I want to apologize tonight if I'm making any strange faces at you. It's not that I'm trying to distract your attention or something. I was just struggling a bit with a headache, and sometimes it just kind of helps. But anyway, if there was a crowd that I had the opportunity to preach to, it would be the Sunday night crowd. Now, I want you guys to know that I love you all, and I'm so glad for all of you being here. I've figured out that the people that are here on Sunday nights are the people that are actually determined to be here. You know, they have decided to not just to go through life, but they're determined to grow through life. You know, and they're, most of the time, the people that are here on Sunday night, they're here on Wednesday nights as well, and they come out soul winning. And what a great thing it is to be able to go out soul. And let me encourage you, if you haven't gone out yet, I understand sometimes we have to work and there's things that come up. But if you ever get the opportunity to go with your work or whatever, you know, please go out. I mean, as Christians, we ought to be going out. I mean, that was the Great Commission. The Lord said, go ye and tell everyone. You know, we are supposed to go out. And the church just offers on Saturday. I mean, they put time aside and pastor comes out and he would help you. You can go out as a silent partner. Just you don't have to say anything. Just go and pray. You know, you can learn from those guys, and it is a great thing just to be able to go out soul winning. Anyway, I want to preach a message to you about the value of your name. And if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22. I thought I'd keep the message a little short tonight. You know, I didn't have the best day. You know, I thought I'd just be a little short, and also I had something else to look forward to. Is I love Sunday nights, because after preaching we go home and we have one of my favorite meals when I get back home. So I'm always excited. I can't wait to get back home. And tonight in the car, my mom informed me that she wasn't able to go to the store and buy this snack, you know, so I'm not getting that. So I'm actually, Pastor, my headache's slightly getting a little bitter, so I might just stay longer tonight, you know. I mean, it's all good. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 22, in verse 1, the Bible says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Now, if you will, just skip over to the next book, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes in chapter 7. In chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible again says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death and the day of one's birth." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for a wonderful day, Lord, and just to be able to see people getting baptized, Lord, and all the visitors that were in church this morning, Father, Lord, I thank you for working here in our town, Lord, and I pray that you be with us now tonight, Lord, as we study your word. I pray that you'd help us to take something back with us, Lord, and something that we can apply to our lives, something that can help us grow, Lord, and just mature as Christians, Lord, also that we're able to talk to others, Lord, and share the gospel with them, Lord. Just do what we're supposed to do. And Lord, I ask that you just help us tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray. So why is it that God puts an emphasis on having a good name? You know, I mean, two times here he talks about it, and right throughout the Bible, God always tells you to have a good name, you know. Why is it that God puts such an emphasis on having a good name? I read this quote the other day from Shakespeare. Now, I'm not a big fan of Shakespeare. I don't even understand half of the stuff he says. But I thought this was cool. It was from the play of, I think, the Othello or something like that, they pronounce it. But anyway, he said, Who steals my purse steals trash. There's something, nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his. And has been slaved to thousands. And then he says, but he that filches from me my good name and robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poor indeed. You know, and I thought about this, and I thought about what value is on your name today. What value is in your name? And tonight I want to say to you that, you know, your name, it carries your identity. Most of you, before you were even born, your parents had already decided on what your name were going to be. You know, it's something that shows your identity. It tells us who you are. Your name is what people use to identify you. They made this the film a while back called The Stolen Identity. I've seen that, but it was all about that. And I was talking to Brother Eric there as well. We were out, and he was telling me, Brother Eric, if you were to call, if John called you, what name appeared on your phone?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. Yeah, I thought I was hilarious. He put him as John the Baptist. You know, but if you think about that, you know, John the Baptist, your name means something. It tells who you are. You know what you is, and even though that's I don't think that's silly, but you know, the way it's John the Baptist, you know, he thinks about John when he sees that. So when Christ came and he died for you and he purchased you, he gave you a new name. We sing about it, you know, there's a new name written up in glory. And if you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter, forgot to write the chapter again. I believe it's chapter 32. Yeah, Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, we have the story about Jacob. And I'll just read this little bit passage here. In chapter 32 in verse 24, the Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And then skip down verse 30. It says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. When Jacob had an encounter with God, God changed his name. We see the same thing happen to Abraham, who became Abraham, and also his wife. You know, every time you have an encounter, but they had an encounter with God, God changed their name. So God also sent Jesus down to earth to die for your sins, and he claimed your name. So in order to have a good name, it takes a sacrifice. A sacrifice was paid when Jesus came to the cross. He died. And he rose again after the third day, and he paid the sacrifice for your name. It's the same today. But I'm just turn over to 1 John in chapter 3. Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Yes. Now that we're saved, we're called Christians, we are called the sons of God. Amen. To be a Christian, the word Christian means Christ-like. Yes. If you're a Christian, you ought to be like Christ. Pastor preached it this morning even, you know, when he quoted James, was James chapter 1 and verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know, the only way that you can be like Christ is if you live in God's word. If you read it, you obey it, you study it, you live by it. You know, that's the only way you can know Christ, and that's the only way you can become like Christ. And there's a phrase in the Wild West, I kind of like it. They always say, cowboy up. You know, live up to your name is what I'm saying. Well, what bothers me today is that there are too many Christians that goes around that they're claiming to be Christians. You know, it's so easy. Just call yourself, say you are a Christian. You go out, you're claiming to be a Christian, but it's so hard to live the actual Christian life. The Bible says the road is narrow. And in the past few weeks, I was going around just asking a few people. You know, I'd ask you, you know, would you consider yourself to be a Baptist? Now, 99% of every person that I met here in church said, yeah, I was a Baptist. Everyone's they claimed to be a Baptist, and I'd ask them, well, why would you consider yourself a Baptist? You know, if you're a Baptist, why? And a lot of responses, people say, well, I don't know. That's a good question, you know. I mean, pastors preach through the Baptist extinctives a couple of times that I've heard him, you know. So, but you don't know really why are you Baptist. What is it that makes you a Baptist? If I was to ask you today, do you have to be a Christian in order to be a Baptist? Yes, but does it... Do you have to be a Baptist to be a Christian? No. You know, you can be, as soon as you get saved, you become a Christian. But later on, I believe Jesus was a Baptist, to be honest with you. You know, it's pretty simple, really. If you study your Bible and you take everything that we believe, I'll just run through it real quick there. I wrote it down because my mind was kind of messing with me. I didn't want to forget it. But the letters of, we call them the Baptist distinctives. Thank you. Baptist distinctives. Each letter means something. The B is biblical authority. You know, the Bible is our final authority. We stand only on God's word. The A is the autonomy of the local church. Our church is self-governing. The P, the priesthood of the believers. The first T is the two ordinances, the baptism and the Lord's Supper. The I, individual soul liberty. You know, it's the power to choose. The S is saved membership. The second T, two officers, the pastor and the deacon. And the last S is the separation from the church and state. You know, that name means something. And so if you look through that, you see that it all just comes from the Bible. And like I said, I believe Jesus was a Baptist. You know, he basically just read from the Bible. You soon find out that if you're a Christian that is growing and living in God's word, that you're pretty similar than a Baptist. You know, there might not be any difference. You soon find yourself probably to be a Baptist. So, you know, if you're still struggling with that thought, you know, I'd encourage you to get into it. But anyway, like I was saying, you know, the Christians today, they just claim the name of Christians. And I find it in myself too. It's easy to just call yourself a Christian. It's easy to call yourself a Baptist. Even I think about it, when I first had the opportunity there about a few years ago, I went out to New Zealand and I lived there for a while. And sure, if you were to ask me before, then if you asked me, you know, if you were a Baptist, I would have told you, yeah, I was a Baptist. No, we've gone through the Baptist distinctives, but I didn't really study those and look into those. But I would have claimed the name of a Baptist. Then I went to New Zealand. I was able to go to two different churches. Both of them were called Baptist churches. And I found then the one church that they, every time they had a different person that would come and do the Bible reading, which was, there's nothing wrong with that. Before the service start, you can have a different person come up and read the text. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I did find is every time that person brought his own version of the Bible, and every time it was different than the one I was reading. Now they still called them Baptist churches. So when I came back after being there for a couple of months, I came back. You asked me if I was a Baptist. I wasn't too sure, you know. I say, well, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, but, you know, I don't know, Baptist, I don't know. So it took me a couple of years anyway, going to Bible college and studying this whole thing out, talking to John and seeing what he believes. And I can tell you now, as I'm standing before you today, that I'm a Bible-believing, born-again, blood-bought Baptist. You know, and I'm not afraid of the name, because I know what the name means. And as long as I get the opportunity to preach, I'm always going to preach about that name. You know, so if you don't like it, deal with it. But as I was saying, Christians today has lost their value and in their name. So take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 5. I think Pastor quoted it this morning. And I just, I really enjoyed the service this last 2 weeks, Pastor. And it's just really, it's kind of helped me. Matthew in chapter 5. And verse 13, the Bible says that ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And I kind of liked how Pastor this morning kind of relate that to our lives, you know, that we also has lost our savor as Christians. You know, we're not as effective anymore, you know, as what we should be. But one thing is important, though. It's still called salt. You know, the name still hasn't changed. Now, it might have weakened, but the name still hasn't changed. So, your name is important. Your name is important because it carries your identity. Also, your name is valuable because it is eternal. Now, I like reading these Chinese proverbs. There's a lot of truth in them. That's probably why I like them, you know. But I read one the other day. It says, "Life is for one generation, and a good name is forever." You know, and it really got me thinking about that. You know, why is a good name forever? And when I was reading, I got some thoughts in that you actually get to keep your name forever, which is kind of cool. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when I was reading about people that went to heaven, they still kept the same name. You know,
that's right.
God still called them by their name, you know, in heaven. So it's a kind of neat thing. You know, your name is given to you as a baby. It's the only possession that I can think of, the only thing that you possess that someone gave to you that you get to keep for an eternity. And I thought that was kind of cool. You know, your name is valuable because it is eternal. It's the only thing that'll last for eternity. But what good is your name if it doesn't reflect Christ? You know, can you imagine, since your name is going to be eternal, if you had a bad name and you're stuck with that for eternity? You know, it's kind of thought that scares me. Also, the choices you make today will determine what your name will mean later in life. You know, if you're a Christian, and I believe you are tonight, and I believe you do want to grow, if you're a Christian, you should live differently. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Hey, I'm talking about the internet tonight. I'm talking about the internet. You know, it frustrates me. I love the internet. Sometimes I think I'm addicted to it. I spend a lot of time on it. But it frustrates me every time there's something that pops up.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of a girl there or something. And the natural response is to just look at it for a couple of seconds, you know. And we ought to close it down right away. And sometimes it's hard to do that. But it frustrates me that Christians today gets hung up in those kind of things. I mean, you know, we were at the teens the other night, and guys were looking up stuff on their phones and things like that, and they'd make remarks, you know, oh man, she's fine, you know, she's good looking, man. If I can only get that girl, and you know who you are, you know, but it frustrates me that you call yourself a Christian, and then you get hung up on those things. You know, you've lost the value of your name, is what it is. The Bible says, "Wherefore come out from amongst them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." There's the television. You know, every night after 10 o'clock, the ad starts changing. Everything starts changing on TV. And why do I find it so hard every time to just flick off and put something else on? Switch the TV off. Hey, the Bible says if your left eye offends you, take it out. Why can I not get rid of the internet? Why can I not get rid of my television? I think I'm addicted to it. You know, it's something that I can't, for some reason, I cannot get rid of it and replace it with God's Word. The Lord said, and touch not the unclean thing. Hey, I'm thinking of Facebook. You know, one pastor said it like this. He said, you know, get your face off Facebook and get your face in God's book. I really enjoyed that, man. I love that phrase. But why is it that every time if you're on Facebook, something comes up, someone bothers you, and Satan uses all those things to distract you. But why is it so hard to get rid of that and get into God's book? Why can we not replace it with God's book? Every time it gets me, you know. And as a Christian, the Bible says we ought to be separate. We ought to be living differently. You know, the longer something stays in your heart, the more company it wants. I figured that, I mean, if you're sitting in front of the TV and you're watching something, and if you don't act right now, right away, switch the channel, switch the TV up, get up, leave the room. I mean, people are cussing over TV. The longer you stay there, the longer you watch that, the more company your heart wants for it. Like, the longer you keep watching it and keep seeing what... The Bible says, be separate and touch not the unclean thing. You know, let's be different. Let's be different Christians. Let's protect our name. It's going to last for an eternity. I wonder, you know, some people at your work, what do they think if they hear your name? You know, do they see you as a Christian? Do they see you as being different, living differently? You know, it just gets me because, man, I tell you, there's a reason God says gives you the value of a good name, how important it is to have a good name. So first of all, your name is valuable because it gives you your identity. It's also valuable because it's eternal. Your name is valuable because it can save others. Turn to 1 Timothy in chapter 3. I just started at the top. The Bible says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, and blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And then verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. You know, your name will protect you from Satan's attack. If you live a good life, if you live righteously according to the Bible, and you are a Christian, and you're living up to what's expected of a Christian. I mean, you're here Sunday morning, you're here Sunday night, you're here Wednesday night, Saturday Bible study, and you live right at work. I mean, you're not cussing. It frustrates me. There's a couple of people in here that call themselves Christians, but their language is just dirty. It's just wrong, man. I haven't said something right up to their face, and maybe I should have. You know, but it bothers me that they can go around and call themselves Christians, but they don't behave like Christians. I mean, they say things they shouldn't say, they do things they shouldn't do, they look at things they shouldn't do, and what's even worse is they share it with other Christians. And everyone seems to be, it's fine. You know, I just don't understand it. The Bible says God is holy. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, we ought not to do that. Just look over back to the previous chapter in the 1 Timothy in chapter 1. In chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You know, Paul is writing here to Timothy, you know, and he's telling me, he's saying how I am the chief of sinners, how bad I am, you know. But then he says in verse 17, he says, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. You know, Pastor said it this morning, you might be the only Bible that people ever read. They might not have, I mean, we're here in Ireland, most people are Catholic, they don't read the Bible. But I can tell you, a lot of people are here in church tonight because they've seen what other Christians live like. You know, they came to church because they say, hey, these guys really are different, and I'm thankful for you. Hey, if you're living separate, if you're living a good Christian life, and you're bringing others to church, I am thankful for you, and we all ought to be like that. But tonight, you might be the only Bible that some of these people ever get to read. You know, and don't be the Bible that doesn't reflect Christ. You know, people will look at you to see Jesus. And I like this. Your life is like money. You know, you can choose however you want to spend it, but you only get to spend it once. And Eric Capace said, "Only how's the? I think John, you know that. Only one life, so soon to pass. Only what's done for Christ will last." Man, that's the best way of saying it. But I mean, we have the opportunity to make a difference. And to be successful in life, you don't have to do extraordinary things. You just have to do the ordinary things extraordinarily. Gospel Light has a song that I love. They said, when the world looks at you, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at you, what do they see? And I want to just leave you, just encourage you when you leave here, you know, to live differently. You know, your name is valuable because of your identity. Your name is going to be eternal. And your name might help others to go to heaven. You know, be the Christian that is expected to be of you. Claim the name of Christ and live it. Live by this book, you know, and just be different. Let's pray.